What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, beer. Greetings, Afroposse, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Afro of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and special guest,
Ryan. I keep doing this thing where I ask if the thing's about to start as you're doing it. And that's two times now.
It's intentional.
Good, good. That makes me feel better.
Yeah,
that means it's working.
The whole point is to surprise people with the start.
Oh, fantastic! Well, it works.
Means it's working. Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm drinking from Bent Paddle Brewing Company a Venture Pilsner Lager, and it is kind of what you'd expect from a Bent Paddle Pils.
Oh.
Not really much more to say on that front. Terribly exciting, I know. I'm off to a great start.
And I've missed podcasts.
Yeah. For me, I am drinking Gatorade.
Are you pregnant?
If I am, it's yours.
No, it's not. Not anymore.
That's called foreshadowing. But the
you were gonna say a different word.
Cesspool. but yeah, I'm drinking orange Gatorade. I was diagnosed with COVID on Wednesday of last week. I am drinking Gatorade.
Okay.
That was a long pregnant pause.
I feel like that spoke volumes there.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm here with good old classic Jameson, and that's what we've got going. Yeah.
Yummy.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm.
They're classics for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jameson and then a water next to it. Because I'm not in my 20s any longer, and hydration is important.
Yeah. Preach.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Keen-eared listeners will notice that Jenna is not here. She is elbow deep in something for Fringe, I believe. She said.
Yes. 5/5 of Fringe.
Yes, that one.
That thing. Yes.
So she found something more important than this to do.
Look, that's not hard. That's
what possibly could be more important than this podcast?
I want to say like microwaving something. keeping your toenails clipped.
Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother,
me at all.
Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Yeah. Anyway,
does this count for like copyright infringement? No, you didn't say enough of it.
I think it
was less than 30 seconds. Good. So
there you go.
It might also need to be good.
Also, that song might just be in public domain at this point.
Oh, it might. Oh no. I have a habit of watching informative YouTube. And because, you know, it's informative, and I happened upon a video where somebody was talking about the PS2, and I was like, cool, I loved that system. My first real job was working at Funko Land before it was bought by GameStop, as it was being bought by GameStop, selling people PS2s on launch day. And the host, the content creator, is treating it like it's an archaeological specimen, which is hurtful.
Yeah.
What was more hurtful is that she reminded me that the PS2 is 5 years older than YouTube. Just YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, 2005.
The
PS2, the year 2000.
Love that. Don't love that.
No, I hate that. Yeah. Yeah.
That song is not yet in public domain.
You've Googled.
How many years until it's...
I don't know. It was copyrighted in 75.
Oh, sure. Then it's going to be a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. I love watching gaming YouTube, but also... Yeah, I saw... So, a Toyota Celica of the same year as the one that I had not long ago. It was a 2001. Drove by me with collector's plates. And I also hate that.
I feel I have only just started to have experiences similar to what you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with there being people who are my same age, who are making like nostalgia videos on TikTok. And it's like nostalgia for the time when we were teenagers. And I'm like, but that was like yesterday. And it is decidedly not yesterday, turns out.
Yeah.
And that's freaking me out a lot.
For you, it was 20 years ago. For me, the reason I said that is that my brain tells me that I was a teenager 20 years ago. It is longer than that. It is. So I just got myself.
Yeah. I had like I didn't understand a meme for the first time. I was like, passage of time is indeed happening to me too.
I haven't understood memes for decades.
Yeah. Salsa's kind of a hipster in that regard. Staring at me like I've got, you know, a fifth eyeball for what, a decade now.
Yeah, some must be.
Yeah. Close to. My first one where I was brutally injured, sundered by such a thing, was that I was dating someone who worked at the shop next to the shop where I worked, and something had come up, and I turned to her and I said, you know, blah blah blah, and now you know, and knowing and knowing, and she
didn't,
stared blankly at me, and
I mean,
I would
kind of stare moment, blankly at you at that situation, just because I would be wondering why you're trying to make me finish a phrase, random person.
We were dating. We weren't a random.
Oh, okay.
But like, I was like, oh no, how much younger than me is this person that I'm dating? This adult that I'm dating.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something to figure out before the dating part.
Yeah.
No, like I knew.
Always check IDs. That's.
We were both in our 20s. Mm-hmm. I knew, but also.
Yep. Some of it also is, do you have older siblings? Because if you have older siblings, then your cultural knowledge is earlier than if you're not.
She does have a sibling a couple years older than her, still younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, she was fully 6 years younger than me. Hmm. And apparently there was an epoch of people who did understand the G.I. Joe reference, and then people who did not understand the G.I. Joe reference.
Right.
And that's...
Yeah, it's interesting hard. Because, like, talking to my dad growing up, my dad remembers when the first TV, you know, was introduced. You know, when I remember when the computer, the first computer entered our home. I remember when the internet entered our home. Mm-hmm. And, like, now I've got kids who are just like, you know, what... what did you watch on YouTube when you were a kid? And it was like, about that.
Yeah. Nope.
It is. It is wild to have entered the age of kids now. We'll
Aquarius.
Never know.
Age of Aquarius.
That there is no knowledge before the internet. Because even I still am in the cutoff, you know, where like my young person life, mm-hmm. there was not, you know.
There was no internet. Not,
like, there weren't, you know, we didn't have a computer at home, you know, like. And it wasn't.
Computers were still a novelty.
Yes, a novelty. Mm-hmm. And I, my dad was in technology. And so he had. It sooner, you know, than the rest of my friends. Like I was a kid that had like a cell phone mm-hmm. before the rest because my dad was in that sort of field, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, you need to have this because this is interesting to me, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And, but I mean, I was very young and there, you know, there wasn't a large portion of time where there wasn't really the internet, but I remember being, young and then playing the like Pong with the just green. It was just like,
yep.
Yeah, it was just green, yeah. You know, and I was
snakes
very young.
For me. It was definitely snakes for me.
Yeah. But there was still a time pre that, you know, like I still went outside and did the thing.
Isn't the out of doors were not simulated for you, mm-hmm. right. your comfort and safety. Yeah. You speaking you of real bikes.
Yep. Speaking of, what have you all been up to?
Oh, many things. If I'm going first, why not? There was a Ville show to see who got to be on cast. Mm-hmm. And we had 5 extraordinarily talented people. All 5 of them did well enough to receive an offer.
Oh, wow.
Which is staggering, but they really impressed us. Mm-hmm. On top of that, it was just a phenomenal show. I always, when I joined a frat, hazing was still a thing.
Is more cruel.
This is in some ways more cruel, but it also involves some of that fraternity style hazing in that we always have surprises
mm-hmm.
built in for the candidates. But we can't just, you know, subject them to the paddle machine. That's not smart or funny. Having to design some new, novel, surprising, and very difficult thing every amateur show is kind of part of the fun of it. The whole thing is a hazing ritual, but really, you know, this is the part that they don't expect. They have signed up for it. They have approved it. We make sure that it is safe for them, but they also mm-hmm. have no idea what's about to happen. And I really like seeing that. I really like seeing how they interact, how they cope with it, but also just seeing the comedy that comes out of that. And sometimes it's somebody doing a full dance routine to a song that they don't know. Sometimes it's somebody lip syncing and performing to something that's on headphones so the audience can't hear it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's putting a condom on a banana without using your hands. There are many things. There are many things. Yeah, it feels a little mean, but in a way that I think is pretty wholesome, mm-hmm. and I like that.
Mean in a way that's wholesome is a great genre.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a little bit of that mixed in, and I felt really proud of the person that I coached. He took first place. did a phenomenal job. I know that he is a professional actor in the Twin Cities, and ended up not being able to commit the time to it, and did decline. But we got four other really excellent people on cast, and it's all announced. It's on the Facebook page. It'll be on the official webpage soon, and they're going to start having opportunities to appear in shows. So people who are fans of Vilification Tennis, but who like to see something new, you got ample chances coming up. Mm-hmm. There was that. As stated earlier, just 3.5 days after being at that show, so I was really worried. Checked in with a bunch of people that I had easy contact with, but also I had a fever of 102. So I was not very phone capable. I checked in with several people, and so far, I think everyone has tested negative. One person is sick with something. I don't know what. And it has taken this long for it to appear, so I don't know that it would be that. Mm. Or I don't know that it would be from that. But like, I was so afraid that I might have gotten somebody sick. But hopefully the timing of it means that nobody got COVID, mm-hmm. Aside from me, and two, that nobody got it there. I'm hoping, but I was a little relieved, because the first time that I had COVID, I was actually supposed to appear in a show that Ryan had me scheduled for. Yep. Our guest Ryan had me scheduled to do some stand-up. I was supposed to propose to my now spouse at that show, and then I had to quarantine by myself, and then the second time I quarantined by myself in the basement of our house, the house that I share with my spouse and our child, and then the time that my spouse got COVID, they had to quarantine alone. Mm-hmm. And so it's really rough. We both got positive tests this time, so we've gotten to quarantine together, and it's like, as far as how we feel about it physically, it sucks. Mm-hmm. But not having to be apart for a week unexpectedly, and like constantly worried that you're going to make this other person sick.
Right.
And I'm honestly kind of nice.
It's the rip the Band-Aid off thing.
Yeah. And so all of that. I was in the ER yesterday, because I thought that, I might be experiencing heart arrhythmia, and it turns out that I had a muscle thing happening next to my heart, but not involving my heart.
Is it costochondritis?
I don't know. You would think that I would know more about what's happening to me in general, but no, they were just like, don't worry, it's not your heart, but also we don't want to keep you here. You have COVID. So
yeah. It was a precordial catch syndrome.
That's another one. Yeah. Precordial catch.
Yeah. That's what I've got.
It feels like there's, on occasion, usually when I have not been sleeping well, or when my body is overstressed, you know, which never happens. I'll get, a feeling of like occasional little like it feels like there's a gasp in between heartbeats. And so that's worrying, but it usually goes away very quickly, like a matter of minutes. And the Sunday morning, it did not. It was there for several hours. And so it actually went away just before they released me in the hospital, but they said, you know, not to worry. Whatever it is, it's not a heart thing because my EKG was clean. They actually complimented me on a couple of not like, wow, you're a wonderful specimen. But they were just like, yeah, these levels look good. They're where they should be. Some of them are on the low side. You're doing well for your health. Keep doing things, for your health. We were both really relieved, actually, because I let my partners know and our kid know. Lots of us got to be relieved about that. It has been a little while since I was in the hospital for something that could be potentially immediately fatal, and it's really nerve-wracking. Not the best way to spend a Sunday, but
those are worse ways,
For sure. If I were still there, that would be a worse way. But I've had these plans. I'm like, well, I'm off work because I can't focus on work, so obviously what I should be doing is getting things done at home.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't, it's not a thing.
Nope.
when you're desperately, desperately sick. This one, it sucks very much bad.
Mm-hmm.
Only today have I really been able to focus kind of satisfactorily to like read a book or play a video game or like, it's just, so the previous couple of days have just been watching, you know, informative YouTube, being offended by objects of my of my late teens being treated like they're, you know, unearthed from the tomb of Tutankhamun. Yeah.
Right.
I relate to being unable to relax as well, but I'm glad you have your videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there were 2 days there where it was just Mystery Science Theater.
Yes. Way to go.
Because Jax's fever was not as completely debilitating, and they were pitying me, and they know that it's deeply comforting and helps me to sleep. So we were watching Mystery Science Theater, just the live stream that never ends. And it was very soothing, but they knew that I was starting to feel better because I would like nudge them and say like, this is the one where Joel escapes in a crate of Hamdingers. There's an escape pod in the Hamdingers. And then I would go back to sleep. You know, as one does. So that's what I've been up to.
James, I want you to know that I care about you and your health story enough to have not interrupted you saying potentially immediately fatal with "Hello, Cleveland." I kept it to myself for you. Fantastic. Till now.
I appreciate
your restraint is noted. I also spent a lot of time watching TV the past few days. Ryan, I do apologize. You came onto this podcast at just the right day. Because I got a vasectomy. And I'm going to tell you all about it.
That's awesome. And you should, because that's great. Let's just have that for everyone, please.
Also, our listeners. The listeners have had some foreshadowing the past few episodes that this was coming. But you did not have any warning. And so I'm warning you now. We're going to talk about my balls. But you're also, you know, hang out with dregs. So I'm sure you're used to it. I on Thursday went in to have my vasectomy finally. I had a prescription for a Valium, one Valium, that I was supposed to bring in. And they're like, we will tell you when to take it. It's like, cool.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And so you're like,
get in there.
Oh, rough club.
Yeah. They're like, you have to have somebody who can drive you home. And so my wife stayed home from work. And so 8:30 in the morning, I was at the hospital, got taken into the back room. They're like, all right, take the Valium now. It's like I did. And then the nurse is like, you know, we're going to go over some real quick paperwork here. Here's the instructions. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. After the procedure, you're going to be, you know, laid up for a few days. Don't have any sexual anything for at least a week, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then in 3 months, you have to go in and have a test to make sure that it worked.
Yeah.
So you have to give a sperm donation and they test.
They're going to set it on the bench with the breech open so that they can make sure it's not loaded. And then.
And the biggest question here was 3 months.
Yeah.
Really? And I asked them and they were like, yeah, the sperm can live past the vas deferens for 80 days.
Yeah.
I was just like, I did not realize that.
I think imagine them in those like long stay hotel rooms.
Yeah, they're just in there forever and a day. I was like, good.
Sorry, waiting for their house to be fumigated.
Oh, it's time for my favorite phrase, which is, I think I just got gayer.
Oh, it's buckle up. It's about to get worse.
we're watching Ryan get even somehow more deeply gay.
But then they were like, okay, so here's the specimen cup, you know, in 3 months, schedule a day, make the deposit at home, within an hour and a half, bring it into the lab.
How delicately put.
Yes, that is exactly how they put it. But you bring it in within an hour and a half of producing the specimen. And they'll test it. And then they said the thing that made me just go, what? They said, you need to, in order to flush the pipes, ejaculate between now and then at least 25 times.
Yeah.
Which is like once every 3 days.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. All right.
Those are rookie numbers, man.
I am not in my 20s anymore, man. That is,
I'm not in your 20s either.
Those are not numbers I'm not usually hitting anymore. But it was just like, yeah, no, you need to make sure that everything's cleaned out.
I guess on this podcast, I learned that I poop more than anyone else. So I might as well learn this about me too.
So it's like, well, I don't think my wife is going to be up for that. So I'm going to have to take care of some of that myself.
My brain went, oh no, I simply must several times. It's for my health. I can't.
Yeah. It's medically important. I have a doctor's note.
No, baby, I wasn't looking at porn. I was worried about my mental. Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, so yeah, that's my homework now.
Making sure that my deposit clears.
Yep.
Is that the
Yep.
Oh man.
So yeah. Then they take you into the back room and usually
Hang on.
Yep.
I don't have a comment. I just need a moment.
All right, while you take a moment, I'm going to keep talking here. So they take you into the operating room, if you will. And the nurse starts to get everything set up. And she's like, okay, and strip below the belt. And usually in these sorts of situations, the nurse will be like, you know, here's a robe or something like that. You know, strip, go behind the screen, go, I'll leave or something like that. No, this was just, you strip, I'm just going to keep doing the thing here because she's going to be seeing it in just a few minutes anyway. So it was just like, all right. So strip down, get down on the table, lay back. They put towels down around the area. So it's the only, the business is exposed. That's about the time the Valium starts to kick in, which is nice. and then, doctor comes in, there's, you know, puts a local anesthetic in there, little pinch. but then everything was from that point on pretty fine. But the thing is he proceeds to do the operation. Whole thing takes like 15 to 20 minutes tops. It's really fast. And the entire time that this is happening, he and I are chatting about the Minnesota Wild. Because why not?
That's what it's like to be a man.
What's that?
Is this what it is like to be a man?
Yeah.
Just chopping it up about sports ball, getting a vasectomy. Yep. Love that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yep.
That's about it.
I love it.
Yep. So yeah, then they did tell me to wear tight underwear.
You're like the only kind I have.
Well, I'm used to, I do boxers. Boxer shorts are what I do. I like to dangle. But they were like, gravity is not your friend right now. So you want everything to be cradled very nicely. But there is small incision, one tiny little, like 1 centimeter incision, like at the base where the shaft.
I'm not making any jokes about the size.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, they got put Check gauze on that, and then off I go. And then it's basically sit on the couch for a few days. My wife had wonderful planned ahead, and she had gotten a whole bunch of bags of frozen vegetables.
I was gonna say bag of peas on the dick. Yeah.
Well, we not just peas, but we had like frozen mixed vegetables and frozen. Niblets. Chopped onion and frozen, also all variety of things. And because she was like, after all this is done, we'll be able to use them. But in the meantime, it was kind of nice because I did discover that different vegetables were better than some others. So yeah, turns out peas not the way you want to go. The peas they warmed. They warmed up too fast, and then they got soggy. The frozen sliced onions, though, those stayed nice and cold for longer without getting saggy.
So next time I hear about a pal getting a vasectomy, I should just like rock up with a bag. Here's a gift for you. Like, I've heard this is the way to go.
I that first day, like the rest of Thursday, I just fucking slept. I was out of it. And then Friday over the weekend and everything like that, I watched all of Black Books, all of IT Crowd,
sure,
all of Horrible Histories, all of Travel Man, and I'm halfway through Gadget Man right now.
Oh.
Because that's basically all I've been doing is like watching TV and playing video games and reading and just like trying to like I got so bored just doing the same thing. Like I needed 5 different kinds of media just so I could rotate through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wasn't just doing the same thing for hours and hours and hours. Like I would play video games for a few hours and then I would like, I got to do something different. So I'd read a book and then I'd be like, I got to do something different now. So I'd like play the Switch. And then I was like, I got to do something different. Cause I was just so fucking bored.
I was going to ask, if you had gotten the Switch back repaired.
And we did, yes.
Yeah. And were the save games preserved and everything?
Yep. Yeah, we got everything back. They replaced the battery on that and everything was good. So.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Good, good.
But yeah, that's basically what I've been doing the last few days. And I'm back to like 85% good. Like I'm still sitting like gently. You know, when I'm able to stand up and walk around and do most stuff, but like sitting down is like slow.
Also, he's got a little bit of a John Wayne swagger to him now.
A little bit, yes, absolutely. I do have kind of a bow-legged stride right now. But yeah, I'm back to close to good at this point. So yeah, that is my story. So dudes out there, if you've been thinking about it, go do it. It really, yeah, like it was not that bad an experience. Like it was a couple days and like I had Tylenol and I had bags of ice, and mm-hmm, I really only needed the Tylenol the first couple days, and I really only needed the ice the first day. Other than that, it was
good, because Tylenol don't stay frozen very long.
Yeah, the bags of Tylenol. They also really small bags of Tylenol, so.
It's not the size that matters, salsa.
Well, in my case, it does. So yeah. Anyway, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
And then my wife. Yeah, and then my wife went to Gerton's, and we got some berries to plant in our berry garden. We got some honeyberry.
Oh.
Honeyberry.
I was also not familiar with them before, but apparently they're like, they look like a cylindrical blueberry. And apparently they have the flavor profile of like blueberries and raspberries and blackberries all rolled in.
All right, I gotta see this.
Yeah, really? Look, Google it, look at it. But they look like
your internet.
They look like stretched out blueberries.
But you already had those.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you are completely right. That's pretty wild.
Oh, those, yeah, they do. That's
kind of look like deflated balloons.
Kinda, yeah.
Setting. Yeah.
But yeah, we got a couple of those. So is now it weird if
the one on the left is a little,
I don't know what the picture you're looking at, James. So I don't know.
Huh.
Huh. So now our berry patch has the cherry tree and the black raspberries and strawberries and these honey berries. So
wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I really want to try a honeyberry. I've never even heard
of that. Once they are all grown up later this summer and are harvested, I will report back on what they taste like, and also report back on whether or not I'm allergic to them.
Hey.
Oh, that's a different kind of excitement. That's like playing catch with a grenade.
It is. It's a lot of fun because the cherries and the black raspberries, very allergic. The strawberries, I'm fine. Blueberries, no problem. So
is this allergic, like if it touches you or just if you eat it?
Eat it. Yeah, it's an ingestion thing. I'm actually not allergic to the berry itself. I have a tree allergy, and proteins in the fruit are close enough to the tree pollen that the body thinks it's the same thing, and so it like goes and starts attacking it.
That's my problem with avocados. I don't have the usual like banana latex avocado family of allergies. Right. I've got the tree. This one thing is kind of like tree.
Yep. And therefore, it's close enough to, and so my I also does can't that,
but with my thyroid.
Ah.
Oh.
That's fun.
Yep. I also
with a capital F U, yeah.
Yeah. I also can't eat celery or carrots for the same reason.
Oh.
But if you cook or process or ferment or any way process that fruit, it breaks down that protein, so it no longer, my body no longer thinks it's that tree pollen, and so it's fine. So which is why I can have fermented I can make black raspberry mead all day, or I can have cherry pie, no problem. It's just that fresh fruit that I can't.
I wish it were the same for me with avocado. It is. Mm-hmm. It is not. I actually can't have the oil.
Mm-hmm. But how often do you cook an avocado, really, though?
I mean, you could. You could heat.
You could, but like usually, yeah. Avocado's eaten raw. So
mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm.
That is true. But yeah, can't do that. Yeah.
So yeah, but that's what I've been up to, is sitting around because I really haven't been able to do anything else.
Yeah. Friend Ryan, what have you been up to?
Give it asking. More adventures lately than I have had in a while. I think due to a more relaxed nervous system. I made a move recently. Friend James indeed helped with that. And feeling some of my energy and personality come back, in a safer place, you know, and mm-hmm, having a little bit more to give. And so I've been just kind of going on adventures, you know, like doing, sometimes it can be, especially if you don't have a ton of energy, it can be intimidating to like go out to things you want to see by yourself. And mm-hmm, I've been just doing a ton of that. I've just been going to stuff by myself and it's been great. And I've been making friends and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm actually really social. I forgot.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So like, one of the cool things I got to do recently was to go see Dropout Improv. They were in town and it was a great cast, you know, like friggin' Lou Wilson was there. Vic Michaelis, like a ton of amazing, Kimya Papunia, like so many. Like,
I love them.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And I saw it kind of last minute and like snagged a lonely ticket, you know, and was just like, I'm going.
Well, that's amazing.
And then, you know, I'd gone down cause it was at, I think it was the State Theater. I used to work in those theaters. I went down and I got some food at the bar nearby down there and just sat at the bar and like just started talking to the other ladies that were there at the bar. And we had a great time. And like, I was like, oh my God, we're both Pisces. Added each other on Instagram, the whole thing. Right? super cute. Got into the show. Went and found my seat. Went, I'm too ADHD to sit here until the thing starts. I'm going to walk around. Got some coffee.
They didn't have trailers for you to watch?
No.
Where other improv groups came out and gave you a 30-second...
No, unfortunately.
That took Carmina Burana for some reason.
missed opportunity. In a
world where, give me an occupation.
And then they can't every time.
Fuck.
I forgot every job that's ever existed. I simply cannot give you an occupation. Yeah. Made some more friends while waiting for Dropout. We well added each other on Instagram. Another Pisces, if you can believe it. And then went and
you're
sat
about
down.
1/12. Give or take.
Yes, yes. Went and sat down. Heard people behind me talking about compression socks, whipped around, said EDS. They said, yeah. And then we made friends.
Amazing.
Making friends in adulthood is way different than making friends as a kid, isn't it?
It is.
It reminds me of the Jeff Foxworthy thing where he's like, concerts as an old person are very different. I turned to my wife and I was like, I smell Ben Gay. Somebody brought Ben Gay in here.
Yeah, whipping around like, what brand of compression socks do you get? I've been looking for some new ones. Yeah, it's a different game, that's for sure. So that was really great. And on the vein of shows, I was driving past that area again. And I just happened to see on one of the theaters, Maria Bamford was there. It was like Maria Bamford, 7:30. And at the time it was like 6:15. And I was like, dropped off my groceries at home. Came back, bought a ticket, went in, saw Maria Bamford.
Nice.
Absolutely
nice. Phenomenal.
Yes, I've gotten to see her twice now, which is delightful because she's one of my favorite comedians of all time.
Yeah, she's solid.
Yes, so that was amazing. I've been going out to a bunch of different events that are billed as queer or sapphic and just like meetups. And Red. And I've gone to some speed dating, which is crazy. Never done anything like that before. It's kind of like several rapid job interviews all at once.
I mean, that sounds awful.
Yeah, terrifying, but also I hosted a comedy show for 5 years and I'm great at that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. Everyone is monogamous, though. So your results may vary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, mine would definitely vary.
Mm-hmm. Would... Yeah.
Yeah. No, my bosses have all been monogamous, too. So, oh, wait. So is that not what we were talking about? Oh, okay.
If you were.
Oh no.
I wasn't allowed to sleep with other bosses. Wait.
Just gonna let that sink in for a minute, I think. Gonna experience being here and being alive.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Laughing and coughing hurts.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, go ahead.
I couldn't get Hayley Williams tickets. Hayley Williams is the lead singer of Paramore, which is an emo band that was a big deal when I was younger and is still a big deal to me. And
Hayley Williams from other than Paramore.
I don't
know. Hayley Williams do work with, am I thinking of the right person? With Postmodern Jukebox?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
Postmodern Jukebox though.
Might be someone else. Sorry. Yeah.
Lee Ray okay, so is an incredible singer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But anyway, that might be who you're thinking of.
Might be.
And couldn't get the tickets because she decided to play really small venues because she wanted more intimate shows, but she's way too popular to be doing that.
They
sold out immediately. And I was like, maybe I'll like get some kind of a last minute thing. Kind of waited around for that. It didn't happen. So as a backup, I went to a friend's improv show instead, which I had met that friend for the first time in years at the Dropout improv show. And they said, I'm doing improv now. Come see it. And I said, bet. So that was really nice. And I really miss doing improv. I do it in little tiny pieces here and there. Not consistently. So I'm trying to figure out where the scene is now, get involved. I don't know. I've been going to strangers' houses to buy things.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. Like,
it feels like a drug deal.
Yeah. It does feel that way. like this has happened twice in the last couple of weeks. Scrolling on TikTok and someone is like, I'm from Minnesota and my life is crumbling. I'm selling all my stuff and leaving. I'm fine though. Don't worry about me. Come buy it though. This is my address. And I went, hell yeah.
Oh. Well, your life is crumbling, you say? More for me.
100%.
I'm there to pick up the pieces for myself.
Yep.
Yes, and I did make friends with one of those people because I was like, we're going to like each other. And we did. Now I have a bunch of cool stuff.
You have made a lot of Instagram friends recently.
I know. I'm going through a phase.
Great.
And last thing of note is I finally got a chance this year to a couple times go out and assist and learn things from Southside Battle Train, which are the folks, if you've ever seen the May Day Parade, they're the folks that have these crazy, like, moving sculpture parade things. It's, like, super punk and cool, and they'll, like, teach you how to – they taught me how to, use a drill to drill through metal to make a piece for this thing that was going on. You know, they build a giant moving dinosaur and like a big Ferris wheel, and I'm going to try and ride in the Ferris wheel for the parade. And so it's like, it's very, very amazing. Cool. Yeah.
Please do let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. They're very cool and very punk, and I've admired them for years. So finally getting to go and check it out, and they were teaching me stuff, was really cool.
That is extremely cool. Is it it reminds me of a different parade, like artist group that I admire, that made a huge elephant sculpture, a huge mobile elephant sculpture that was piloted by like 8-9 people, that was the size of a house, and it had like a little gazebo or a little like onion dome thing up on its back that was actually like a tiny garden and all of that stuff. But it's this huge wooden looking elephant, absolutely gorgeous. They also did an enormous, even I, as someone who is arachnophobic, was like, this is truly gorgeous. A huge spider, and they introduced it to the world by leaving it hanging on the side of a skyscraper for several days, and then having it descend and take part in this parade. So again, the size of a house.
Amazing.
Massive. I'll send you links to those things, because is exactly the kind of thing that is super fascinating to me. But getting involved with that's so cool.
Yeah.
So if you let us know days when you are in the giant Ferris wheel.
May Day is happening on May 3rd. And I think it's a largely Powderhorn based event. Never been to May Day, it's a great time. It's delightful, and people dress up, and there's a parade, and usually parades are kind of dumb, but this is just a bunch of art people being like, look at this cool stuff we made, and here's what's going on. And, you know, you will recognize people, because, there are folks of our types of community that are all up in this bitch. It's great. And it's one of my favorite times of year. But I can for sure send you some official deets. Either way, I always recommend people check out the battle train, because it's really a sight to behold, and it's very cool. And they work really hard to build these really amazing sculptures. And, you know, some of them like spit fire out. You know, there's some where people are drumming on instruments. You know, there's the big dinosaur Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. I think there's one that's sort of similar to like, those rides you would see at a fair that are twisted around.
Like the scramblers?
Like a scrambler, kind of, yeah. There's one where a guy is like really defying gravity, and I don't know how to explain it, and it's just worth seeing. So I recommend them very much.
Wonderful. Cool. Yeah. I took, for a while, I had a membership at a Twin Cities makerspace. And people were constantly doing all kinds of cool things, like making musical instruments out of broken Nintendo consoles, and teaching people how to manufacture American flat bows for archery, and Viking shields, and all of that stuff. And they had like a vacuum former and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. I love being on stage, but the thing that I miss most about not being in college theater, apart from the parties, is the scene shop. I miss having access to an enormous, wide open area, full of materials and tools, and being able to craft huge set pieces and manufacture props and that kind of stuff. And so for a little while I had a kind of an expensive an expensive membership to the local hacker space. Mm-hmm. But if you enjoy that, and you enjoy meeting people who are like building their own circuit boards or making cosplay props or learning to forge their own tools and things in a metal shop, then a makerspace might also be your jam.
Yeah, I love all of that. I love being around people who are motivated to make stuff, because that motivates me to make stuff.
Yeah, it's easy to get drawn in and sort of cycle that energy, be motivated by it and also contribute into it. The community builds everybody up. Yeah. I love stuff like that.
That's the dream. That's the dream, man.
Yeah. So that's extremely cool. And, I'm glad that you are, picking up a new skill. I am reminded, I had talked, on our last recorded episode about doing an improv show this Thursday. But that one has been postponed, and I'm hoping that it will be rescheduled for a time when I can do it. Maybe do a little bit of stand up, like throw a little bit of stand up in there as well. In exchange for, parade information, I would also gladly let you clue you in about where that's going to be so that you can meet all of the nice folks who are there.
Sounds like a great trade.
Yeah, get linked back in with the Twin Cities improv scene.
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. I really miss it a ton. I just haven't known where it's been going on. I've been out of the loop. Yeah. So I would love to get in the loop.
Those people. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do some stand-up again soon.
Yeah. Without having to run the show?
Yeah. That was good times, though. I loved Fearless Lab.
I did, too. Yeah. Should we take a break?
The times, they are a-changing.
Mm-hmm. Salsa, do you need another drink?
Always.
Ah, good.
But that's just because I'm a lush, not because of any other reason. Take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
This is good listening.
Yes.
We're professionals. Yep. Don't worry. We know what we're doing.
Not at this, but...
No, God, no, something. Not at this, no. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm not Ryan anymore, actually. I'm good. I've only insulted your podcast 3 times while being on it.
Oh, that is way fewer times than we insult our own podcast.
How many times have you been on it? Is it 3?
Have I been on this podcast?
Yeah.
Only during Die Laughing before this, I'm pretty sure. I don't think I've only... Yeah. I think I've never been on... Yeah, besides during the big live show at whatever in the morning.
Really?
Oh, interesting. God.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I have a terrible memory, but...
This is much less drunken antics than those were.
it's very unfortunate to have been 20 something and doing that podcast very drunk.
Those were the days.
So regrettable. And some of it's still on the internet, and I'm like, oh.
That was a time.
Well, at least we got Facapella out of it, and that's
That was my ringtone until my last phone change. That was
my ringtone too. Yes.
it only in the last like 2 years did it finally stop being my ringtone. Mostly because it would start ringing in my car with my kids in the back seat.
Oh,
and was like, I'm a little uncomfortable with this right now with my kids back there.
Yeah, that's fair.
At the age of 10 and 13 or almost 13. So it's just like, let's not do this anymore.
Yeah. That's fair.
You're starting to understand what all of that means. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is that time again. And we are going to learn some history. Not only just some history, but some linguistic history.
My favorite.
I know. We're going to talk about pronouns.
Hey, I like those too. Yeah. I got some of those.
Yeah. Well, you're about to discover that you could have had more. In Old English, there was the singular pronouns. There was the plural pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a third, the dual pronoun.
Secret third thing.
The words were wit, unker, and git. And they meant we two, us two, and you two.
Oh.
Amazing.
So it was
unker and git?
Yes. Wit, unker, and git. And it basically was like, you know, when you're in a group of people and you're like, we're gonna go that way, like who is the we, like all of us, or you know, but if you say wit are going over there, you're talking about me and one other person.
Okay.
We two are doing this.
Yeah.
You know,
the royal we. Yeah.
Instead of saying you should go there, you could say git should go there, and they know you're saying you too should do that.
Gotcha.
So there was singular, dual, and plural were the three like pronoun groupings.
Gotcha.
Obviously they fell out of favor, you know, for just everything being plural, the duals and the plurals all joined together. But it made the language much more robust and specific for those cases when you were just specifically talking about a pair of things, people, you know, objects. So, yeah, that's a thing that used to be, is the dual pronoun. Couple other things. The word they is from Old Norse.
Yeah.
And as many of you probably already know, the singular they was in use all the way back in the 14th century. Chaucer used it, the singular they. And the word you came with the Normans. Okay? It was the French word vous.
Yeah.
Right? Was you. And vous is plural.
Oh.
But the king, who was now a Norman and spoke French, the king was a plural.
Huh. So is this where we get royal we?
Exactly.
That was my thought.
It's like the not my joke, royal we, but
no,
like
but actual... it's exactly it. It's the royal plural. Royalty is plural.
Huh.
And so the king, because the king was a plural, was a vous.
Oh.
The king and upper nobility were vous. And so because people would refer to the king as vous, they started, the Saxons, who didn't know any fucking better because they didn't speak French, just started to call everybody vous. And that is why you is now the word that we use instead of thou or thee.
Oh.
It's because the Normans came, and instead of thou art, it is you are, because of the Normans.
That's fascinating.
I was fascinated to learn that, was it Old English or Middle English where man was genderless?
I don't know offhand. I couldn't say for any
it was
confidence which one it is. I know what you're referring to, but I don't know which one.
It would have been really quite early that man just meant human.
Yes.
And then a mask person would be Wehrmann.
Yep.
And a femme person would be Wiffeman. And so that was, but everybody was met. Hey, man.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Which is why it is mankind and it is, you know, man shall not. It is, they were talking about humanity. Yes, human. And because the masculine became the default, they just called that man. And then the Witherman became woman.
But that's also the origin of the word wife, and also the origin of werewolf.
Yep.
Because it means man wolf.
Yep. Because of the weather.
I guess would, if you were femme and turned into a wolf, then you would be a wiff wolf.
Yep.
That's kind of adorable sounding. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. So it would be mermaid and merman, and it would be a werewolf and a wiffwolf.
Yeah.
Wiffwolf.
So, wiffwolf.
I like that.
Yeah. Wiffwolf. Which is sort of the sound that a dog makes when it's like confirming. And you're like, oh, did you see a squirrel outside? Wiffwolf.
See, wiffwolf just sounds like a Danish king. Wiffwolf the unready.
Followed by Wiffles the Unsteady, and his son.
But yeah, we get like general. It is really, really interesting seeing how the language has evolved with the different groups of, like, you had the Celtic language, and then you had the Angles and the Saxons come in, and that changed the language. And then you had like the Normans come in, and that changed language. That's why some people might not know this. That's why our food, meat food, has different words than the animal food. Which is why we have pig and pork, and we have cow and beef, is because the Normans in England were the nobility, and the nobility didn't want to know where their meat was coming from. They just wanted to eat the meat. So the pig was the Saxon word, and pork was the Norman word. Because that way they could go, oh, we're eating pork, not those pigs. We're eating pork. And boeuf was the French word where it was the cow. That's what the peasants had. And boeuf, that's what we're eating. Is so, like, that is why we have different words for the meat as opposed to the animal.
And fish was poisson, but not anymore. I guess fish is fish. Maybe because that animal would be served whole. I'm not sure. I don't know.
And like, and chicken, like chicken. We refer to chicken, the meat, as chicken, but back then it was what, poulet or whatever.
Poultry.
Poultry. Exactly.
Poulet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is why
we have poultry.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Is because of those Normans.
Yeah.
So
I'm. Ryan, you might enjoy the podcast The Allusionist, as in making an allusion to something. You'll know you have the right one if the cover art is a boggle of whatever the show title for that episode is. But it's the fourth episode ever. They have Is it the 1812 overture? Is it da 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 da?
That's canon. No, yep.
Canon. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Okay. Yes. But different from Pachelbel's canon, which has fewer explosions.
Which is not a canon at all. It is a Passacaglia.
Right. I did not know that, but thank you. Now I know. And knowing... My spouse just said, sucks. Yeah, knowing sucks. The Illusionist did a review of different swear words. Their fourth episode ever was called The C-Bomb, where they go over the British swears categories. You know, what is a category C swear? What is a B swear? What is an A swear? And the use of a very particular word. And then they have a recording of a large number of guest speakers saying the C word to set to that overture, and it's magnificent. It is really, really good.
Sounds like an amazing thing to be playing at a Ville show, honestly.
Well, now I want that.
Cunt.
But every is someone saying the C word. Every note.
No,
is
I get it. Yeah, oh, every word. Note.
Every cunt, 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 cunt.
Oh, that's cunt. Wow. No, I gotta. Cunt, 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 yeah, cunt, I gotta listen to this.
Fuck. I'm gonna.
Yeah,
have to listen
it's amazing.
To.
Yeah, it's glorious. I wholeheartedly recommend it. They have super interesting and intricate language histories, if that's your thing. So,
and it is.
Well, there you go.
These facts were neat, and I liked them.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I work hard to try to make sure that I'm not saying things that people are already like. Simpsons good did facts.
Although that is now 30 something, 30, it's the 32, 33 years old.
What?
I think The Simpsons.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So that was my random fact. I hope everybody liked it. Go to the Discord. Tell us what you thought of it. If you liked my facts, if I said something wrong, obviously this is the internet. You'll let me know. You don't need to be told to do that. Let us
get in the comments.
Yeah. What other interesting linguistic things? What word when the Saxons showed up and said the Celts are doing it wrong, and so that's the way we say things now, and stuff like that. I love those little bits. Post those in the Discord. Does anybody have a shout out?
I do. And not just because they are currently in the room where I am recording, but a shout out to my spouse for taking good care of me when I was completely knocked out with a fever. I pretty literally slept for, I think, 24 to 36 hours with very few breaks. And they also drove me to the hospital on Sunday. So very much appreciated, especially because I have had experiences where, in the presence of a significant other, I had to drive myself to the emergency room. And it is good to have a partnership. it's nice to be taken care of when I need it. So. Mm-hmm.
I am going to give my shout out to vasectomies. Hey, all you people out there with testicles, it's the fucking 21st century. Truly. Fucking man up and take responsibility for your own jizz, and stop putting that on your spouse or significant other make sure. I mean, by all means, if that's what you're into, keep doing that. But stop putting that responsibility on them to be the one to do the family planning and stuff like that. If you don't want kids, fucking do something about it. Stop trying to make somebody else responsible for that. And it's not that fucking bad. Just fucking do it. Like, seriously, stop whining and making excuses. Mm-hmm. Ryan, do you have a shout out?
Yeah, I'll give my shout out to my dearest of dear friends, Saffron and Jib. Jib, also called Carter. Because I just love them so very much, and enjoy their company and friendship very much, but also because, in a similar vein, to James, but not in a physical sickness way, those two have, especially recently, just taken care of me and kept me functioning on a couple of different occasions. Love them so much, and getting to crash over there and be amongst dear ones is amazing and something I'll never take for granted.
Wonderful. They are super delightful.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're good people, as they say. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have anything to plug? I mean, I do, so I guess I will go.
Yeah, go first. Yeah.
It is fucking almost May, people. Holy shit. The second weekend of May, May 9th and 10th, Casimir the Hungry will be at the Renfest of Nebraska in Omaha. Ooh. So if you are in that area or are looking for a Renaissance festival and just need to get your fix, head on over to Omaha, Renfest of Nebraska. It's a really fucking nice festival. I really, really love starting my festival at this place. I know it's in Nebraska, so that's one thing going on the negative column, but otherwise, like, the site is great. And again, get your Renfest fix. And then the following weekend, Casimir will be at the Janesville Renaissance Festival, the 16th and 17th in Janesville, Wisconsin. A fun little festival that I enjoy a great deal.
Wonderful. So
if you're in any of those areas or just looking for a way to, you know, get out of town and see a Renfest, check those out. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. If you are an attendance goer person to Convergence, the convention, you might could check out both my solo show, which is Thursday night, of course, ooh, part of Harmonic Convergence, and then you could also, if you're amenable, check out the Dregs, which I think is always a Saturday night show. I don't know. I just kind of show up whenever they tell me to in the text message chat. And those, I think, are the most recent things we have coming up. So I'll leave it with that for now.
Wonderful. My upcoming thing has been postponed. So
so more to come on that later.
Yeah. Be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody just chill out. Wait for it. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye bye, love you, bye bye bye.
In that case, thank you so much to everybody who listens to this show. Thank you so incredibly much to our guest Ryan for stepping in when Jenna was away.
Thanks for having me.
If you would like to send in a fast five so we do that, go to aonpodcast.com, click on submit a fast five and fill out the form. Otherwise, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Child, motherfucker!